The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'm very aware that we're coming up on New Year's Eve and the New Year. And I kind of find it quite nice that this coming year is called 2020. It turns out that my high school son, when he went to his 4 years ago, 3 years ago, or whatever it was, to his some initial thing at school, his school, the teacher said that he's in the class of 2020. And then she made some allusion to 2020 vision. And so I kind of like this association with having 2020 vision. For two reasons. One is that it makes it the year of vipassana, since vipassana meditation means to see clearly, and so that's our year, to see clearly. And I have this cute little image in my mind of someone drawing in eyes on the two zeros, and then the number two becomes, the word T-O, so to see, to really see. So I kind of like this idea to remind us that's what the fundamental aspect of the mindfulness practice we do is to see clearly, and this is the year to do it. And also somehow, maybe because of that number and the association with seeing clearly, I feel kind of hopeful for this coming year. I feel like, certainly I feel every moment is infinitely open with possibilities. And then which possibilities we take, which possibilities we create, is really up to us. Certainly the world around us changes in all kinds of ways. But there is a teaching in Buddhism that the world that you live in, you personally live in, begins with you. And that you're a little bit the master of your personal world that comes out of you and the choices you make about how you stand, how you sit, how you speak, how you look. How, you know, all these choices you have about how you interact with the world have the there's a place inside of you where they're born, and so to take a seat there, to be close to that, and kind of have the idea that yes, your world begins here. You create moment by moment a new world that no matter what the challenges you might be having, there is a place for you to step into that with a lot of choice. And in doing so, express your freedom. So there's an infinite possibility coming our way, just a few days from now. And we celebrate that as a culture often with this New Year's Eve on this particular day, New Year's, 31st of January, of December. But from a Buddhist point of view, this day has a wonderful teaching opportunity to look at this. And that is that in a real, literal sense, in terms of real reality, New Year's Eve does not exist. It's just a convention. It's just an idea. Now, it would make some sense if New Year's Eve, the beginning of the year, was celebrated the solstice. Then it would be a real kind of event that you can kind of identify. And there are calendars like the Chinese calendar, which goes along the lunar calendar, so that it kind of does celebrate a new year that has a little bit more, astronomical sense. Ours makes no astronomical sense that I can think of whatsoever. It doesn't exist. It's just like this. We've just taken this kind of day and put this closeness, tacked onto it, this idea. And it doesn't, you can't touch it or feel it or see it, and anything real. And then there are people who relate to it in all kinds of creative ways. And we've been invited to a Times Square New Year's Eve party, with the idea that we'll go home at 9:10 and go to sleep, which is that sounds pretty good these days. And But you know, it doesn't exist, this idea, in any kind of tangible way. And so in Buddhism, they'll emphasize the emptiness of that. And so a lot of concepts that we base our life on often turn out to have that kind of emptiness, where they doesn't have an existential real essence or true thing. However, we've applied truth to it or applied concepts to it, and we live by it. And sometimes we take that as being true, take that as being real, sometimes more real than anything else, because for all kinds of reasons. And part of the function of Buddhist practice is to start recognizing conventions as conventions, start recognizing that in a certain way that they are absence of something solid and ultimate, that they are some kind of way empty. And in their emptiness, in this kind of these conventions, if we really see that, then we see a world of possibility. We see a world of creativity, because, you know, it was a creative act by someone to make December 31st the end of the year and this time of year and all that. And but I think to some degree that creation of New Year's Eve that we have, it's this particular time of the year, it looks to me like maybe a product of someone's confusion or a product of someone's ancient world's quest for power. Because a few things. You know, December literally in Latin means the 10th. It's the 10th month. Well, that's okay. I guess we can just live with that. But but November is the 9th month. October in Latin means the 8th month. September in Latin means the 7th month. We're confused to begin with here. And apparently in ancient Roman times, the quest for power, there was no arbitrator for exactly how long the year was supposed to last. So apparently Roman emperors were had the custom of just extending it, the year, so they can be in power longer. I guess they were in power for certainly, they had term limits, some of them. And so what do you do with term limits? You just, you know, add to the calendar. So, you know, we're recipient of this old system from these Roman times, and so, you know, just kind of a convention that we have. But even as a convention, conventions are important. And how we use conventions is our choice, but conventions can be a bridge between people. They're, I think of them as threads that connect us. And so some people in this culture here will celebrate New Year's Eve. It's a significant event for people. They get together. Like my wife and I might get together with a few other couple of other couples just to have a meal together, just as an excuse to get together and hang out, and then feel good about going to bed early, you know, as opposed to missing out or something. And so it's a nice event, you know, and it's an excuse to get together and to celebrate our togetherness or to be together in a nice way, in a friendly way. So that's a wonderful use of a convention, to bridge people together, to connect people together. And there are other ways of celebrating New Year's Eve that brings people together, some of them which may be, in Buddhist analysis, are not so wholesome. Some of the ways that people want to bond and connect as people, people are so desperate to bond, to connect, to have association, to feel like a sense of belonging. Some of it's done in unhealthy ways. Sometimes it's done with very strong severing of bridges. I'm going to make bridges to my people, and I'm going to cut off the connection to the other people, for example. Or the bridge that connects maybe is something real. There's the conventions that bring us together, and then there's the real alcohol that brings us together. And then we share this, you know, alcohol and how lovely that is, or we share in gossiping and how lovely that is, or we share in complaining about politics and how wonderful that is. So there's all these ways in which people come together and connect. And the conventions we live by are kind of the threads by which our society runs, our society finds meaning, finds associations and connections. And those threads that we have, those bridges, are ones that we can be a little bit responsible for. we don't just take it for granted that this is given, what this is just a given thing, but in recognizing its convention, it doesn't really exist. We infuse with it. We are the ones, we can, if we want to, either ignore it, which is a lovely thing to do. I've ignored many New Year's Eves, and almost as if it didn't exist. I went to bed at my usual bedtime and got up in the morning at the usual time, and it's like, you know, kind of knew there was a new year, but, you know, it had no, did nothing. But I've also taught New Year's retreats for many years. And then it was a really great time and to be together with meditators, stay up until midnight. And we would usually have a little ceremony where people would write their something down, like an intention or something for the year. And then we usually had a little fire. And we'd all process out and throw the paper into a fire. And we'd have refuge cords, and we would do the refuge ceremonies together. And it usually be kind of dark, and we would often have these little votive candles, and all the lights would be turned off, and we'd all be meditating the last hour, and the votive candles, and refuge cords, and chanting, and it was really inspiring. And that was nice, too. We're using this kind of convention to kind of create something special by what we do. So we have a choice to take these conventions and use them as bridges for something wholesome, for something that's beneficial for ourselves and our world. And a big part of a Buddhist spirituality is to cultivate in ourselves what is wholesome and to promote what is wholesome in our society. The word wholesome is a very powerful word in Buddhism. The ancient word is kusala. And this kusala word also means skillful. Do that which is skillful or helpful. And you can develop skills inside. You can develop wholesome and useful and beneficial qualities inside. And you could promote that in the world around us. And so when we meet with people and we say, you know, Happy New Year, what are you, you're participating in a convention. And are you doing that as a rote, empty ritual? Or does it really represent something in your heart that you really want to connect and pass on and create for our world and our society? That's, you know, it's really up to you. But this is this New Year's Eve thing is just an example of the many, many opportunities we have throughout the day and the year to take an ordinary convention and infuse it with something wholesome and beautiful and valuable for our world. You know, how many times does someone say, you know, how are you? And they don't really want an answer. And that's okay, because what I learned what it means, it's really, you're not supposed to take it literally. It's a way of saying hi in English. And that's really, you know, it's all it is. So you participate in that hi, you say hi back, and the high back is fine, or good. And I think it's kind of understood that it's just a formality. It's a way of connecting, and I'm here, you're there, I know you're there, I'm not here. So that's nice. And we could also take this convention of greeting people this way and infuse more meaning to it. What about going to the ritual and saying, how are you? And then looking at the person, pausing. What does that do? That creates a little more space, more possibility. I love standing very, not just exactly still, but very present at the grocery market checkout counter to see what kind of friendly connection I can make with a clerk. I try to have a little conversation with them. I try to really see them clearly. I get the sense that some of them don't get seen. You know, they're like incidental. And some of them don't do the seeing either. Sometimes I try, and they're like, you know, doing their thing. But it's really special when the two of us can, I feel, when stop and see and have a human connection. And I feel like, you know, my days become better. I'm a better person to have had that human connection with someone. And I'd like to believe that I've made the person's day slightly better. Be respectful, talk with them a little bit, and, you know. I've gotten to know some of the clerks by first name, because sometimes when I've gone a lot shopping for my family, sometimes I go early in the morning because Safeway's open at all night long. So I'll go at 5:30, and there's someone there who's always there, and I've gotten to know his name, and you know, it's nice to talk to him. And so, you know, so what do we infuse these things with? So here's something that I'd like to recommend, that you think about a wholesome quality to infuse into your life around all these conventions, all these ways we have to meet people and bridges of connections through our language, through our customs that we have, and through New Year's Eve and all these other things that we have. And the kind of a quality of that connection, something that only you can infuse into it, that it doesn't exist without you adding it to it in some way or other, that our society, I think, needs tremendously right now. And that is respect. That we meet people with respect. We offer them our respect. And respect means that we see people as valuable. We see people as worthy to be there with you and have connection and to care for. And that it means that to respect them is to kind of have the assumption they're really trying their best. Even some of it seems in your eyes to be dysfunctional or maybe even wrong. That probably there's some depth inside of them. Some depth of feeling, emotion, hurt, some depth of connection to the world, to their family, to all kinds of things that their background is there. They have layers and layers and layers of background inside of them that is represented in whatever they're doing. And so maybe you don't respect what they're doing and what they say and what they believe sometimes, but if you kind of go below that, all those conventions and ideas that exist, and really kind of respect something inside, the depths inside, the depth of potential they have, the depth of caring and the tenderness and the emotional core and the need for belonging, the need for love, the need for freedom, the need for peace, the need for, you know, meaning that people have in their lives. And to respect them for that and to grant them that as a possibility and want to support that and see the best in them come out. And to respect people, to offer that respect to everyone we see. And so people feel like they've been encountered as a valuable person, that they've been encountered, someone sees them as a full human being, as something like that. Because if people are not seen that way, that's painful. Even if they don't, you know, and sometimes the pain doesn't come out as pain, it comes out as anger or closing down or blame or something else. And but for those of us who meditate, that over time we slowly learn how to drop inside, quiet down, and find that the world begins inside of us, where it begins, how it arises from us. That there's a source inside that's not particularly mystical, just this, you know, it's a place of our intelligence, our intentionality, our choice, our way of seeing the world, that we can kind of have this source inside that our life bubbles up out of. And that bubbling up out of that source, from the inside out, is a place where our world begins. And what do you bring into the world from that? What do you want to bring to the world with that? And if you want to, and one of the things you can do for this year is to bring respect. And I think of that as also this 2020 thing, because the Latin word respect means literally means to see again. I don't know if exactly literal, but it has the root words spect, like spectacle. It means to see or something. And re is again, so to see again. And so that's one of the qualities of respect, is to stop and take a second look. To be at the checkout counter and stop and really take a second look at the person you're with. You know, the homeless person asks for money. You don't have to necessarily stop, literally, but what about taking a second look rather than the first instinct is to avert your eyes and avoid? what about taking a second look and taking in the humanity of this person? You might still continue because maybe it's not the time and place or appropriateness for you to respond to them, maybe. But to respect them, to look at them, and I make it that my practice. Occasionally, I give a homeless something. Sometimes I don't, but I try to give them respect. I try to look at them. I smile at them. I say hello to them. I say some words of something that somehow has some. They're connecting with me, so I'd like to try to connect back. And sometimes it's an art, you know, of how to do that so we don't get pulled in ways that we don't want to. But no matter where we go, how do we respect? Sometimes I try to, when someone is on the street, happened yesterday, I think it was, where someone was talking, some stranger on the street was kind of barking at me in some kind of angry way. And so my way of being respectful for that was I turned towards the person and had a little kind of contact, said something a little bit warm or said something that was kind of a little bit to diffuse the little bit hostility I felt. But I was clearly continuing to walk. I was not going to stop because I didn't know what I'd get pulled into then. But I did, you know, the incident was to turn, respect this person, take a second look, what's here? So to respect people. So the year of 2020 is the year of vipassana, the year of our practice, the year for us to see clearly. We can see clearly that we live in the world of conventions and ideas that are constructed by human beings. And we, to the degree to which we share these concepts, they are the threads that connect us. And so can you use your conventions, the conventions, as a way to respect yourself, respect the world around you, respect everyone. And then perhaps 2020 will be a great year. I'm hopeful. I hope you are too. Thank you.